Don't move. You're listening to Harpy Hour.
We just want to share another awesome podcast with you first.
So check these guys out and stay tuned for this week's episode of Harpy Hour.
Welcome to the Plum Forest Podcast. On this podcast, I take old school Chinese short stories and then I translate them into a modernized version in modernized English. There's very little Chinese, so don't worry about that part. And I narrate these stories and some of my friends give me a hand doing the voices of the characters. These stories are meant to be like me and you are having a cup of coffee and I'm telling you a story. Here's a clip you can check out and if you like it, give us a subscribe or a follow. Anyways, stay safe everyone. Mrs. Stewart rushed out to see him naked in the pond and stood there at the edge and then asked him,
Ben, what are you doing there naked in the pond? I thought you were going to the bathroom.
No, that bathroom thing was a lie. Well, not all the way a lie. I peed over in that corner of the pond, but I want to be like a fish. So I got out of my human clothes, jumped in here to swim like them.
Harpy Hour may contain explicit language, as well as graphic, violent, and sexual content. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Harpy Hour.
The harpiest of all the hours.
Whoa. Remix.
I added a trill.
I like it. I like the trill.
Thank you.
I can get down with the trill. It's better than whatever the fuck you did last time.
I just added words last time.
Yeah, bad words.
It had like a different rhythm at the end. It was weird.
Okay.
Yeah, it screwed it up. This was just added on afterwards versus...
This is a little flair.
Yeah.
Well, I am Tracy.
Ooh, she got right to it. I'm Liz.
I'm Steph.
We are the Harpies, and this is our podcast where we share ridiculous stories in history, science, and entertainment.
Yep.
It's what we do. It's why you're here.
It's that time of the week again.
We're really not in the
Nobody
banter.
Came up with banter today.
We got no banter this time,
huh? We forgot to plan.
We did.
To plan ahead.
We forgot. That's okay. I think we're going to have some shit to talk about with mine, so.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I was attacked by a cicada a few weeks ago, and I was unhappy about it.
Oh.
Are cicadas still happening over there?
No.
We have to wait another 17 years now.
Guys, Rona the Puff ate a cicada.
I love it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Rona
the Puff. Like, I saw whenever cicada season was, like a month ago or whatever.
Going to the Insta now.
He, like, had a live cicada, and he, like, put it in her tank, and she... shoot it. Apparently cicadas are related to shrimp. And so he was like, I wonder if she'll eat it. Liz, marine biologist, is that a thing?
I thought I sent it, but I must not have that.
Oh my god, here's the video.
I thought that I had shared that Tracy can't eat cicadas because what? They're from the same family as shrimp.
I can have shrimp. I can have shellfish. I can't have fishy fish.
Oh, okay.
Because of the iodine content.
Huh.
It's true. Oh, no. Rona got pinched by the cicada.
What?
No.
Yeah, but cicadas are more closely related to shrimp than they are like crickets.
Huh.
Weird.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I'm pretty sure.
All right. Good to know.
I would not eat a cicada. I would happily eat a shrimp.
FDA says cicadas aren't safe to eat if you're allergic to seafood.
Oh, well then I can't have a cicada. Technically it's the iodine.
Well, specifically they say they're closely related to crustaceans like shrimp and lobster.
Well, those are fine. Cause
can you eat lobster? Lobster?
It's something about the way that your body processes the iodine. It's a higher iodine level in the fish.
I might be giving misinformation about their closeness to crickets, but definitely they're close to
shrimp. Can you imagine if we did like the dishes we normally do with shrimp, like popcorn cicada?
No. Stop that sentence.
No.
No.
What are other
cicada po' boys?
Cicada po' boys.
Cicada fettuccine.
Cicada fra diablo.
I hate it.
Cicada, nope. Fettuccine Alfredo.
Popcorn cicadas.
I said that already. That was the first one I said.
Whoops.
Tracy doesn't even listen while the recording's happening.
I was thinking of my own answer.
Classic shrimp dish. Shrimp, cicada gumbo. Cicada and grits.
Ooh.
Mm.
Yup.
Nope. No, thank you. Okay.
Let's move on.
I'm over it.
This.
Move on. Oh, Tracy, what are you doing?
Undersold that, but that's fine.
Unceremoniously asking you, the fuck you talking about today, Tracy?
Today, I'm going to regale you with creepy couplets.
Couplets?
Couplets?
Yeah.
Not couples.
Nope, couplets.
What is a couplet compared to a couple?
It's verses. Like, Shakespeare's sonnets were couplets.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad I didn't say what I was going to say.
I want you to still say what you were going to say.
What were you going to say?
I thought it was going to be like alternatives of couples, like in like the animal kingdom or something like that. Or like something weird like toy couples or like doll couples or like...
I don't like
cicada couples.
Going.
I don't know. They're creepy. They would be creepy.
Yes.
Do Liz's thing instead.
It's just pictures of like creepy dolls that are like holding hands. Like that's the entire segment.
Oh,
awesome.
I don't like it.
Yeah. I don't
like Chucky and Bride of Chucky.
That's what I was thinking. That's what. That's the vision I had in my head.
I never actually watched Chucky. Did you guys see Chucky?
No, yeah. I was always too scared. As like a child.
Yeah, I felt like I was when I was young when it came out and I was too scared to watch it then. And then
right.
It just,
and it just never happened.
Then it became too late. Yeah.
I haven't seen all of them. Like, I don't think I've seen any of the Bride of Chucky ones. But I went through a phase with a friend of mine in like middle school or something where I was making it a point to try to watch like the classic horror movies.
Oh, okay.
Or like the originals.
What's on that list?
Like all of the... like Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, more
Scream.
Modern at that time. Yeah, Scream and the I Know What You Did Last Summer and like those kinds of things. So like big blockbustery / classic horror films.
I think those are mostly all like slasher horror films, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that genre has... Are they still making a lot of like slasher films? I feel like that was... bigger before.
They're not like blockbuster, but I think they still make them.
I'm sure that someone still makes them.
Yeah.
100% sure.
Yeah, I feel like there was a time where like everything was like that kind of slasher movie.
Did I tell you guys about Friendsgiving? I mean, not Friendsgiving. I got that all wrong. Thanksgiving.
Oh, yes.
Thanksgiving? I don't think so.
Oh. Oh. My friend and I, when we were living together... we stumbled on this. I think we stumbled on it, or maybe we
Megan?
Read something about it. Yeah. And looked it up. But there's this like D-list movie, like on Netflix or one of those streaming services called Thanksgiving. And it features a turkey that like hunts and kills college students that are home on Thanksgiving break.
And doesn't it like fuck them too?
Oh, it is wild. It's like a slasher style movie, but it's this turkey that's wreaking all the havoc. And there's two of them and they are amazing.
I love it.
Highly recommend.
That's on my list now. Thanksgiving.
Is it like a large turkey or is it like a standard sized turkey?
It's like a standard sized turkey. It's not like a person sized turkey. Like
that's what I was picturing initially. It was like an enormous, like man sized turkey to be able to do this. It's just a standard turkey.
Yeah, it is hilarious. I highly recommend. You don't have to wait until Halloween or Thanksgiving. We watched it in between.
I was about to say I'll wait till Thanksgiving to watch it, but apparently I don't need to. Well, I mean, there's not a lot of Thanksgiving films compared to like other holidays, right? So you got to save something for Thanksgiving.
True.
Tracy, do you want to talk about something?
Today, I'm going to talk about creepy couplets. Creepy couplets refers to nursery
Tracy
rhymes.
And Craig.
Nursery rhymes and how creepy their origins are. I'm so excited.
I did not anticipate that.
This is going to be a recurring segment because I could not. This would be a forever segment if I did all of the creepy origins. So this is going to be continuing. I did not cover all of them. Don't at me. Okay. Nursery rhymes, aka Mother Goose rhymes. A traditional poem or song for children can also be a lullaby, and they generally date back to the 16th century in England.
Is Baby Shark a modern nursery rhyme?
I hate it. Stop. No. Let's get into it. Our first one is Rockabye Baby. The song goes, Rockabye Baby on the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. And when the bough breaks, the cradle will fall. And down will come baby, cradle and all. What do you guys think this is about?
I never really thought about it.
I mean, if you take it literally, I've thought about this because like what literally it is like a baby in a tree that falls out of the tree. Which is kind of fucked.
But it's a metaphor for something.
Mm-hmm. Is it like dropping your baby?
It's not.
Is it SIDS?
Abortion?
It's not SIDS. It's not abortion. You're not going to get this. I'm just going to give it to you. You're not going to get this. It refers to the events leading up to the Glorious Revolution of 1688.
I was about to say.
Mm-hmm. I know. It was on the tip of your tongue.
It was.
Okay, so
we all know the Glorious Revolution of 1688.
King James II, you know, of the Bible.
That one.
Was the last Catholic monarch of Britain, Scotland, and Ireland. As we learned from the King Henry's Wives segments, you're basically a failure as a monarch if you don't produce a male heir to succeed you. At the time, James only had two surviving Protestant daughters from his first marriage before he converted to Catholicism. So obviously,
no good.
They're women and they're Protestants. It can't happen. Yeah. So
all kinds of wrong. You did it all wrong, bro.
Yep. They really misunderstood the assignment. So It is widely rumored that King James smuggled another person's son into the Queen's birthing room via a fucking warming pan, hid the infant in a warming pan, so that it would look like he produced a Catholic male heir.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Wait, who? Yeah. Who did he say? Wait, I'm sorry. So the first two daughters were Protestant. And then he remarried?
Yes.
And to a Catholic?
Uh-huh. And he converted to a Catholic.
And then stole a baby?
Uh-huh.
And claimed that she gave birth to it?
Uh-huh.
Was she clearly pregnant before this?
Yes.
What happened to the baby she actually gave birth to?
She didn't.
My understanding is that it did not happen.
But she was pregnant.
A miscarriage, I guess. I don't know.
Oh.
Miscarriage or stillborn. And yeah. He just was like, shit, and ran out and
he's like,
another
well,
baby.
I'm the king, so I'm going to take this baby.
He improvised and just stole another baby.
He did it live is what he did.
Okay.
Yeah. So that son who, you know, the kingdom thinks it does not belong to James, was named James Francis Edward Stuart, and he eventually went on to rule. But like everyone whispered about him behind his back. So let's break it down. The wind is the Protestant forces coming in from the Netherlands to overthrow King James.
Obviously.
Yes. The cradle is the House of Stuart. So like the cradle breaks in that thing. In the nursery rhyme. And then the original printing of this nursery rhyme had a warning at the bottom that said, quote, this may serve as a warning to the proud and ambitious who climb so high that they generally fall at last. Unquote.
Well, yeah. Quite the metaphor.
It's not great, guys. So yeah, it was actually about, you know, male heirs.
And baby stealing.
Heirs to the throne. Mm-hmm. Baby stealing.
I can see this being like made into like a psychological horror movie with like the little kid singing that song creepily in the background.
Oh my god.
1,000%. 1,000%. terrifying.
It's just so interesting how, like, the history is so lost that people sing, like, Rockabye Baby to their own babies.
Yeah. You'll never look at these nursery rhymes the same again.
I had no idea.
The next one is Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Mo.
Catch a tiger by its toe.
If he hollers, let him go. Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Mo.
Is it racist?
Yep.
My mom, when we had the five cats born under the neighbor's shed, and my mom, like, well, she was 10, went down to five, and then my mom captured them, got them fixed, and released them. She named those cats, four of those cats, Eeny, Meeny, Miny, and Mo, because there was just too many black cats and she couldn't keep them straight.
So, the origins are widely debated, since versions of this rhyme are, like, found across the globe, across several languages. You don't know which one came first, basically. Historians don't know which one came first. However, we do know that in the U.S., the rhyme was not always about a tiger. In the 1880s, the word tiger was the N-word.
Yeah. I didn't know specifically what the, like, origin was, but I knew for some reason it was, like, a racist undertone.
I feel like I've heard this before and kind of forgot it.
Yeah. So the word was replaced with tiger in the 1950s. But there was a good 70 years before anyone changed it.
Why are we catching anyone by the toe?
Don't know.
Okay.
It's a general question. I don't have kids. And
what?
I know. I
mean, none of us do, but go ahead.
So I don't know, and I don't know a lot of people besides, like, some of my family that have kids. But do we still, like, teach nursery rhymes? Like, is that a thing? Like, do kids still sing those these days?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay, great. Listeners, let us know.
So I'm trying to think of, like, my nieces and nephews, and I can't recall them
ever saying them.
Yeah.
That being said, like, I know that I knew some nursery rhymes, but I don't know how often I actually...
I knew all of these before we... All the ones that are in this segment, I knew all of them and could write them from memory.
But I don't know, like, I don't remember learning them, or I don't remember, like, ever singing them with any kind of regularity.
I sang some of them.
Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe I used.
Well, Ring Around the Rosie.
Yeah, so that's my next one.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've talked about this before, but let me get through it.
Okay.
I know what it is.
No.
I do too.
Ring around the rosy, pockets full of posies. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down. It refers to the Black Death of 1665 in Britain. Rosy is for the super smelly red rash that plague victims would get on their skin. The pocket full of posies were the bouquets of flowers that people would carry up to their noses to block out the smell of the rotting flesh.
The miasma that was in the air.
Yes. Ashes, ashes mimics the final symptom of the plague, which was usually a sneeze or a cough. And then we all fall down is everybody's dead. Okay.
Well, that's grim.
Yep. So let's move on. Jack and Jill. Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. There are several interpretations of this. Do you guys know any of them? I picked the two most popular to cover.
They were drunks. I don't know.
I have no idea. I never really thought about this one. I just assumed it was what it was on the surface. Like,
is it something patriarchal where Jill falls down after Jack because she can't be an independent woman without a male to govern her life?
Shockingly, no. It is not misogynistic in that sense.
Okay.
Is it about specific people?
Sort of. There are two main interpretations. The first one is about specific people. It refers to King Louis XVI of France. And his wife, Queen Marie Antoinette. Jack fell down and broke his crown refers to Louis losing his power when he was executed. And Jill came tumbling after. Marie Antoinette was beheaded in October, and Louis was beheaded in January. So she was after him.
Gotcha.
What is the went up the hill to fetch a pail of water? Is that like they just tried to climb too high?
That's not explained.
Like they just reached too high and...
Yeah, something in that
realm. It's just something to set up the downfall.
The tumbling. The problem with this theory is that according to some scholars, now it's not widely agreed on, but according to some, the beheadings of Louis and Marie took place 30 years after the first documentation of this rhyme. So they're like, well, it can't be based on that because it didn't happen yet.
Yeah, that clearly doesn't make sense.
So let's go to the other main interpretation. So the second one refers to King Charles I of England and his attempted liquid tax that was subsequently thwarted by Parliament. So he wanted to up the taxes on like liquid volume. So like a liter of water, you know, whatever. Parliament wouldn't let him. So in order to get what he wanted, instead of upping the tax, he ordered that the volume of a quote jack, which was half pint, would be reduced, but the tax would stay the same, which effectively upped the tax.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, what you think is a half pint is a jack is no longer a jack. It's smaller now.
Ew.
So this change in the jack volume affected the corresponding gill, which is a quarter pint. And to this day, pint glasses still have a half pint marker with a crown above it as a nod to this change.
Oh.
Yep. So to fetch a pail of water, obviously it's liquid, it's a liquid tax. Jack fell down and broke his crown. King Charles lost a lot of support after he imposed this law, and the term jack is what he was taxing. And then Jill came tumbling after. The volume of a Jill was the side effect of the volume change for Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so that one makes more sense, I think.
Yeah. The next one is Mary, Mary, quite contrary. Do you guys remember this one?
Mary, Mary, quite contrary. How does your garden grow?
With silver bells and cockle shells and pretty maids all in a row.
All in a row, yeah.
Yeah. So it's Mistress Mary. Mistress Mary, quite contrary. How does your garden grow? With silver bells and cockle shells and pretty maids all in a row. Okay. So this refers to Queen Mary I of England, a.k.a. Bloody Mary.
Hmm.
So Mistress Mary, quite contrary. This line refers to Mary's Catholicism, and she was very well known for hating and subsequently executing Protestant citizens in her realm. It may also be a reference to her attempt to reverse the Protestant rules of her father, King Henry VIII. Yes, this is the daughter of King Henry VIII and Catherine of Aragon, as you may remember.
Oh, boy.
I do remember.
Yeah.
Was this the Mary that he like lost touch with or something, essentially? Mm-hmm. Not lost touch with, yeah. But their relationship was kind of strained or whatever because right. She was the first, but she wasn't.
But she couldn't
a
rule.
Boy.
Yeah.
She didn't have a penis.
Right, correct.
Lack of penis syndrome.
Yep. How does your garden grow is a reference to her lack of heirs. She had no heirs.
Oh. How does your garden grow? What's your fertility status?
It's not very tactful.
No. You wouldn't say that to a woman these days.
Yeah. How does your garden grow? Oh, my goodness. Also, yeah. I didn't realize that she was Bloody Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Same Bloody Mary. You look in the mirror and say Bloody Mary, yep. Bloody Mary three times or whatever.
Yep. Same one. Mary attributed her infertility to, quote, God's punishment for my allowing heretics in the realm. Heretics equals Protestants.
Mm.
So it's the Protestants' fault that she can't produce an heir.
I mean, that tracks.
Yeah. With silver bells and cockle shells, these are colloquial terms for torture devices of the time.
Oh.
Silver
what
bells.
What kind of torture devices?
Well, let me tell you. Silver bells
Tommy.
Are thumb screws used to crush the thumb between two hard surfaces.
No, thank you.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah, it gets worse. Cockle shells are torture devices used on the genitals.
Oh. Yeah.
Yep.
Do you have any further information as
nope,
to how?
Nothing nope. else.
Didn't
That's
well
all
look
I
up.
Got.
Okay.
Nope. And pretty maids all in a row is either a reference to Catholic nuns, because, you know, Mary's super Catholic, or to her miscarriages.
Oh,
I know.
So harsh.
Yeah. This is really like a, so when are you planning to have kids,
Yeah, they're really
Mary?
Tearing her down.
Yeah. They're not, yeah, they're really. Not fans. They're not fans. Okay. Three blind mice. The rhyme goes, three blind mice, see how they run. See how they run. They all ran after the farmer's wife who cut off their tails with a carving knife. Did you ever see such a sight in your life as three blind mice? Any guesses on this one, friends?
No.
What time period? Let me try to guess.
We're in the same time period as Mary, Mary, Quite Contrary.
Yeah, I don't know. Nothing I could guess would be anywhere close.
So they chased after the farmer's wife?
This also refers to Bloody Mary.
Really?
Okay, so the three blind mice refers to the Oxford Martyrs, which were three Anglican bishops named Hugh Latimer,
I was gonna say,
Nicholas Ridley, and Thomas Cranmer, who were burned at the stake for their beliefs during Mary's rule. And yes, it's that Thomas Cranmer who helped King Henry VIII break away from the church so he could marry Anne Boleyn. Same guy.
I remember that name.
So she's like, dude, you fucked over my mom by letting my dad divorce her and marry some other hoe. Like, fuck you. You're gonna die at the stake. Very full circle.
He had it coming.
Exactly.
He had it coming. He had it coming all along.
You should have been there
if you'd have seen it.
So she totally like exacted revenge for her mom. The blindness is about their Protestant beliefs and the blindness to the truth of Catholicism.
Jeez.
Yeah, we're really into Catholicism, you guys. My personal favorite, the Muffin Man.
Do you know the Muffin Man?
Do you know the Muffin Man?
That's not.
Do you know the Muffin Man? The Muffin Man.
The Muffin Man.
Yes, I know the Muffin Man who lives on Drury Lane. Any guesses?
I feel like Liz was going to the tune of
What Was
Mary
I Doing?
Had a Little Lamb.
Oh,
yes.
You had the wrong tune.
I know. I just think
keep
of
picturing
Shrek.
Yeah. The Muffin Man.
She's married to the Muffin Man. The Muffin Man. The Muffin Man. She's married to the Muffin Man.
I mean, there's not much to work with here. Do you know the Muffin Man? The one on, was it Drury Lane? Drury Lane. Yeah. Like, there's not.
D-R-U-R-Y.
Yeah. There's not much here to work with.
It has to do with England.
Yes.
It happened in England. We solved it.
Correct. This refers to Frederick Thomas Linwood, who is England's first documented serial killer in the late 1500s.
Oh.
Okay.
When was Jack the Ripper? Is this pre-Jack the Ripper?
Yeah, it was. He's the first serial killer.
Oh, I thought like, for some reason I thought Jack the Ripper was the first, but nope. I guess not.
Nope. So, who lives on Drury Lane. Linwood was also known as the Drury Lane Dicer because of the location of his murders.
Oh.
And the Muffin Man, he was nicknamed the Muffin Man.
Yeah, I was like, where do muffins come into this?
Oh, God, this is so fucked. Okay, so he was a pastry chef.
Oh.
Who used muffins on strings to lure 15 children into the lane to kill them.
That sounds like a fucking cartoon.
It's not. That's how he... Yeah,
like a muffin on a string, and they go to get it, and then he pulls it a little bit, and they go after a little bit more.
Kids,
like
kids, they don't know.
Yeah.
It sounds cartoonish.
It's not. It's 100% true.
That's horrible.
He is also said to have killed 7 rival pastry chefs with a sharpened wooden spoon.
Wow. I mean, if you can kill a shark with an oar, you can kill a human with a spoon, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus. I feel like, I don't know, the there's no point to that nursery rhyme. It's not making a statement. It's like, do you
know
him? Yeah, I know him.
Well,
they
put it to a tune so that children would remember where not to go.
Oh.
So this was like in real time.
It was meant as like a proactive like warning that like, oh, where am I not supposed to go? Do you know the Muffin Man, the Muffin Man? You know, oh, Drury Lane. Okay, don't go to Drury Lane.
So they came up with this like while this guy is active. Or if they know about the Muffin Man on Drury Lane, hasn't he been caught?
I don't know. That I don't
That's
know.
That's what my thought was just now, too.
Muffin Man. Hold on. Muffin Man, Drury Lane. The first thing is Shrek.
Okay. Of course it is.
Great.
Well, maybe afterwards people were still just like, I know he's caught, but just stay away from there to their kids.
Bad vibes.
We caught the shark, but stay out of the ocean still for a little bit, just in case.
Yeah, they said that that shit was going down on Drury Lane, so don't go, and people were being lured with muffins. So they didn't know who it was. He wasn't caught.
That's crazy.
They didn't know who it was. They just knew
So at this point they didn't know who it was. They just knew the muffin scheme.
Yeah, they just know that kids are disappearing and they're eating fucking muffins.
Seems wild.
Fatal muffins.
Fatal muffins.
Muffin films. Was that what it's called? Muffin films.
Yeah, muffin films.
I just feel like it seems wild that people are aware that kids are being lured by muffins, but they don't like follow the muffin trail. Like,
well, eventually they did.
Yeah, they figured it out 15 kids later. But these were like vagabond children, you know, like these were the Oliver Twists of the time. You know,
they were newsies.
Right. They were not, you know, kids from loving homes. You know, these were street kids, per se.
Rick
so,
Raff, street kids.
Street rat. I don't buy that.
They would have been on the orphan train if this was in the U.S.
If only they'd look closer. Yeah, these were the Aladdins of the time. So,
how old was Aladdin?
He's supposed to be like a teenager, like around Jasmine's age. Jasmine is 16, so he's maximum 18.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Just a baby.
Just a baby.
Baby.
Just a baby, and he's getting married.
Yeah. Kids having kids, man.
Babies having babies.
So, yeah, that's my segment. There will be several other parts to this, because this is fucking fascinating.
I'm trying to think if there's any nursery rhymes that that you didn't address that I would think
of. Oh, there are a lot.
I'm sure there's many, like Old Mother Hubbard.
Yeah, that one is not what you think it is. Baba Black Sheep.
Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Mary Had a Little Lamb. Little Miss Muffet. All of
those.
The
Humpty Dumpty.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Humpty Dumpty something about like a king or something royal or something? I don't know.
I guess you'll have to tune in to my next segment.
Is it next week or your next segment?
No.
Oh. So I gotta wait a long ass fucking time.
It's gonna come up when you least
expect
it. We're
gonna Google them all ourselves while we wait.
Don't you dare!
You're leaving us on a cliffhanger, and we don't know when we're gonna get the next season.
You're
so,
just gonna have to tune in every week.
Do I have to?
Yes. Anyway, if you want to hear the rest of these fucked up nursery rhyme histories, you can listen to Harpy Hour on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Wherever you listen, please rate us and leave us a glowing review with muffin emojis.
You should also specifically at Tracy with all of the nursery rhymes you want explained.
Sure.
Yeah. Or, you know, don't look them up yourself. Just tell Tracy.
Yeah, don't
do
Google them, but send me your favorites and I will cover it in the next one.
Yeah, you do that by emailing us at harpyhourpodcast@gmail.com because Steph is jumping the gun. And also on
Facebook.
What did
you say Steph is what?
You jumped the gun.
They said I dropped the gun. I'm like, I've never heard that before.
That's not a saying.
Steph dropped the gun. Like, no. That's dangerous. Don't give Steph a gun.
You definitely don't.
No.
But yeah, we're also at Harpy Hour Pod on social media.
And we are on Patreon. So head on over to Patreon. Check out the different tiers that we have, the different goodies you can get at each tier. Apparently, you can also make up your own tier if you want to donate at a level that we don't have.
Do it.
You'll get everything below that level. But if you want to get goodies, you got to be at the level. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
Be at our level. But yeah, so donate to us. Give us money. We'll give you extra content. And thanks for listening.
Guys, we should make a Patroni Baloney nursery rhyme.
Oh, God. Well, I'm on it.
I mean, you say that, but you also said you were coming up with a song for Not a Doctor, and you didn't
And I did after we recorded. You haven't heard it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we'll hear it next month.
I'll believe it when I hear it. Don't disappoint. Thanks for listening.
Okay, bye.
Do you know the Muffin Man?
The Muffin Man?
The Muffin Man!